Well over a month since we continued on the series that I've been going through on James. You know, the last time I covered James, it was back in August. It was a really warm day. You may remember that we weren't here. We were actually at the Los Altos Youth Center, not too far from here. And I know that, remember that time? I think actually a few of you even liked it so much that you asked if we could meet there regularly. But sorry to disappoint you, but we're about to sign another two-year lease here at Mountain View Academy. We might use that as a backup if the school has some conflicts. But back in August, we covered James chapter 4, the first 12 verses. And you may remember that we focused on verses 7 and 8, where it talks about, well, let me just read it. It says, "Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, there were four key points to those two verses. The first one, obviously, being submitting to God, giving up my control, surrendering to him on a daily basis. The second thing being resisting the devil, a reminder that we're actually in a constant spiritual battle and that we need to be vigilant, that we need to be alert and put on the full armor of God. And then the third thing was to pursue God, to really draw near or come near to God through spending time with him in his word, through prayer, knowing his heart and his ways and you know, worshiping him on a daily basis. And then the fourth thing was really dealing with our sin, washing our hands, purifying our hearts, being serious about any sin that may be in our lives, no matter how small or how big, asking the Holy Spirit to really shine his light into our hearts and examining them and to really revealing to us what we need to confess. Today, I want to focus on two more verses in James chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you, just so that we get some exercise, to stand up and read this together. It's only two verses, but it's James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Let's read this together in unison. "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" Thank you. Please be seated. You know, as a kid growing up, some of you may have heard the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what, words will never hurt me." You know, it may sound like a cute kid's rhyme, but I think as we've grown up, we actually know that words actually can be quite hurtful. Words can actually sting quite a bit and pierce really our inner being and really shake us to our core. And some damaging words can really have a lasting effect on how we are and on our soul. You know, and the Bible has quite a bit to say about how we speak to others, how we use our words, how we're not supposed to use our words. And I just want to kind of go over some examples about, you know, what God's word has to say. And again, there's so much to say, but I'm just picking a few verses. The first one is from Psalm 101, verse 5. And it says, "Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate." And then in Proverbs 10:18, it says, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool." And then in the New Testament, in Matthew 12:36, it says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." And throughout the New Testament, the various writers also command us to get rid of all unhealthy speech. In Ephesians 4:31, Paul writes, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And he continues in Colossians 3:8, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." And the last one I want to share with you is from 1 Peter 2:1. Again, a very similar theme. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander and every kind." Now, you know, as believers, I think we all know this, right? Of course, We all know this. We know we shouldn't be talking smack about people. We know we shouldn't be slandering. We know we shouldn't be saying anything that's negative. And it's nothing new that I'm really covering today, but I really want to take a closer look at verse 11, where it says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another or speak against each other." You know, sometimes I think we often overlook this verse because we oftentimes think, the word slander, that applies to someone else. That applies to my neighbor, or that applies to the person sitting behind me or in front of me, but not to me. But I think sometimes slander, you know, we'll go over what slander as a definition, but I think sometimes as Christians, even as believers, we are sometimes guilty of slandering each other. Sometimes it's blatant, but sometimes we may or may not even know that we've been slandering. Now, we all know that the word slander has a negative connotation. A definition of slander might sound something like this: to make false and damaging statements about someone, basically lying about someone, damaging his or her reputation, basically defamation of an individual's character or who that person is. Now, you know, you may want to, I wanted to, I guess, cover an example of slander in the Bible. I'm not going to read it because it will take too long, but I'm just going to throw in an example. You may remember back in the Old Testament in Genesis, there was a guy by the name of Joseph, right? He was, he had 11 brothers. His dad was Jacob. He was like the favorite son. He was not the youngest, but almost the youngest. His brothers kind of didn't like him because his dad favored him, and his dad made him a robe of many colors, and basically the brothers plotted against him, threw him into a pit. They were going to kill him because they didn't like him because his brother had all these dreams. And basically what happened is, instead of killing Joseph, they sold him into slavery to Egypt. And when Joseph got to Egypt, he was a slave in an Egyptian official named Potiphar's household. And you remember that Joseph, as a slave in Potiphar's household, he was doing his thing, you know, serving his master. But you also remember that Potiphar had a wife who basically was attracted to the 17-year-old Hebrew, and basically said to Joseph, "Come lie with me." So she wanted to sleep with him, but Joseph was like, "No, there's no way. I'm not going to sin against my master or against God." And day in and day out, Potiphar's wife would make these propositions to the 17-year-old, I guess, hunk. But he refused. And one day, you know, there was no one else in the household. She basically, like, caught him and like said, "Come lie with me." And he ran, and like, I guess his outer garment was left in her hands because he fled from temptation. And basically what she did, we all know, is she accused Joseph of assaulting her and of raping her, right? So basically when Potiphar got back, well, she yelled out loud, and you know, all the servants came, and she was like, "Hey, this Hebrew, he's trying to make a sport out of me." But basically, she slandered Joseph, right? She defamed him. She accused him of something that he did not do. And as a result, Joseph, what happened? You all know the story. He was thrown in prison, right? He was thrown in prison because of that defamation, because of that slander. Consequences of slander for Joseph was a prison sentence. Now, that's just one example of slander in the Bible, right? But when slander occurs, it can sometimes be quite divisive, maybe sometimes even quite confusing, and oftentimes it affects a lot of people. Think about stuff that may happen in a church setting. Think about someone, you know, maybe there's something going on, and you know, people are talking about so-and-so or whatever, and then it just becomes very, very divisive. You know, sometimes, oftentimes, Satan uses slander to divide God's church. to divide the body that you and I are a part of, and that God says that as a body, we are supposed to be united. Satan a lot of times will use slander to confuse, to divide, to really thwart God's purposes, and the relationships that he's trying to build are basically broken, and the things of God get derailed. Now, you're probably thinking, well, you know, I would never do that. It just sounds so serious. Like, I would never say anything untrue about someone. Well, sometimes slander creeps up. Sometimes slander is oftentimes subtle. You know, sometimes we may just pass along information that almost seems like harmless hearsay. Like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so and what happened, and this is what I heard, and blah, blah, blah. But actually, the effect may actually have on the listener is to leave him or her with a negative impression of that other person. Or maybe sometimes, you know, we're having a real concern about a brother or a sister, and we share it with another person, but maybe that person can't really, doesn't know what to do with it, or really can't benefit. And then maybe we share it with a speculation or presumption, or sometimes we're like, oh, we have to pray for so-and-so. They're really going through this struggle. But did we get that person's permission to share it with the other person? You know, a lot of times when we share things out of concern, it can quickly become gossip and maybe not even a legitimate prayer request. Or sometimes we may embellish information or maybe have a negative tone in a report about someone or a certain situation. You know, I'm reminded of, in the Old Testament again, from Numbers 13 and 14. Again, we're not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase. But this was the time when the Israelites came out of Egypt. Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt. They were on the brink of going into the Promised Land. Moses selected 12 people from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he sent in 12 spies to explore the land of Canaan. Now, you'll remember that these men were supposed to spy out the land to see if the people who dwelt there were strong or weak, whether the land was good or bad, if people dwelt in like fortified cities or if they dwelt in tents, if really the land was plentiful, like what the Promised Land was supposed to be. So these 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. They spent 40 days searching the land, and they brought back a report. You remember that they brought back proof that the land was flowing with milk and honey. They had like grapes, like a cluster of grapes that they had to kind of carry on their shoulders. There was a lot of produce, a lot of luscious fruit. And then you'll also remember that when it came to describing the men of the Promised Land, everyone except for Joshua and Caleb greatly exaggerated their strength and stature. In Numbers 13 and 14, in verse 32, it says, they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. You know, sometimes slander is not only about lies, but sometimes it's also about exaggerations. It's also about embellishment. You know, and it was so effective that these 10 spies had that the whole camp of Israel, save except for a few, rose up and they murmured against God. They complained and they basically said, God, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? And it was so bad that it got so bad that to the point that God was ready to basically wipe them all off in Genesis or in Numbers chapter 14. And you know, you remember that Moses interceded on their behalf, and the Lord changed his mind about the destruction that he was going to bring on the people. But remember what happened. Because of their murmuring, because of their complaining, they had to wander the wilderness for the next 40 years. And everyone except for who? Joshua and Caleb all died before going in to the Promised Land. Slander. exaggeration, embellishment. And I have a personal example to share, actually. This is just it's not the best slander example, but it recently happened to me, and actually as a matter of yesterday. So we were celebrating a birthday yesterday, and there was a request for a taro snow cake. And so Cheryl, my wife, called ahead, ordered this taro snow cake. Well, she called on Monday, and the lady at the bakery said, oh, it's too early, you have to call back on Friday. So then she called the bakery, and she called the bakery to order this specific taro snow cake, and she made the pre-order. They said, no problem. And so yesterday, I took Enoch, Cheryl was with the other two kids, and I took Enoch to the bakery, and I got to the bakery, and I was like, I'm here to pick up the taro snow cake. And they're like, okay, can I get your name? You know, all the stuff, did you pre-order, blah, blah, blah. And then the guy goes back to the back, and then he comes out, and he was like, I'm sorry, we don't have that order. Like, we don't have that taro snow cake. And I was like, what do you mean you don't have it? My wife called on Monday. And then when she called on Monday, you guys told her to call on Friday. And what do you mean you don't have it? Like, there's got to be some mistake. Like, can you check again? And then, of course, the poor man, he goes back and he checks again. And then he comes out very apologetically saying, like, what's your phone number? Like, did you prepay? Did you, like, he was like, we don't even have that on the menu. And I was like, what do you mean you don't have that on the menu? How is she able to order it if you don't have it on your menu? And so I called Cheryl, and she's like, yeah, I ordered it, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, who did you talk to? She's like, I don't know. It was a Chinese lady by the name of Jenny. And I told them, it was a Chinese lady by the name of Jenny. But then I looked at them, and I was like, most of them aren't really Chinese. And then I was like, wait a second. Is it the other bakery at, like, the other store? And then I was like, oh, my goodness. It wasn't even the same bakery. I went to the wrong bakery. Like, I felt so embarrassed. And here it was in my mind starting to, like, slander, starting to be like, you know, like, I was kind of already, like, giving him a hard time. Like, what do you mean you don't have it? Like, she ordered it? What do you mean you don't, like, what about all these other cakes? Because basically our dear relative had a list of preferences. So I basically went down the list, like four or five cakes. I was like, do you have this one? Do you have that one? And they're like, no, we don't have any of those. Those aren't even on our menu. And so here I was feeling like a complete idiot, feeling like totally embarrassed. And I was just so apologetic. I was like, I'm sorry. I think I figured it out. But I was too embarrassed to tell them I went to the wrong bakery. But so I think God was just teaching me a lesson. In my mind, I was already slandering them. In my mind, I was already, like, thinking ill of this. Yeah, incompetent. You know, are these people are incompetent? Like, you can't find good help. Like, how could you not get the order right? Why do we have to, like, go through so much trouble? It shouldn't be this hard. But yet, it was me that was the incompetent one going to the wrong bakery, right? And so I just felt like God really, you know, reminding me to watch my words and to really be careful about how I say things. Because I think, you know, at that moment, I just felt so justified. I was like, I thought I was right. I thought, like, hey, you made a mistake. I'm in the right. But clearly, I was in the wrong, right? And so I think it was just the Lord's real gentle and also a little hard reminder of just how the stance I need to take of one of humility and run just realizing that, you know what, I need to really, like, think before I speak, and I really need to be submitting to God with what I say. So I don't know about you, but when you think about the words that you use, and again, sometimes it's very blatant, right? But sometimes it can be even subtle or not even as blatant. But how are we in our interactions? You know, James, in these verses, he's addressing brothers and sisters in the church, right? He's saying, don't slander one another. Don't embellish the truth. Don't speak against a brother or a sister. And again, sometimes we're probably guilty of not the blatant kinds, but maybe we're guilty of the other kind, where maybe we don't think much of it. So what can we do to avoid speaking against a brother or a sister, or avoid slandering? You know, the New Testament references slander as part of our old sinful nature. You know, slander has no place in our lives once we have become born again in Christ. Once we've been a new creation, you know, Colossians 3, verses 7 through 8, it says, "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." We read commands earlier of Paul telling us to get rid of, and slander was one of those things to get rid of. We need to just stop it. We need to just get rid of it. We need to heed what it says, that if we are a new creation in Christ, we need to put away the old self and to really be clothed with his newness and his righteousness and with his words. You know, maybe perhaps asking yourself a few simple, straightforward questions would help. Maybe a question like, what I've heard, is it true? Not, this sounds like it's true, or I heard it from a reliable source, so it must be true. But do you know whether or not what you heard or what you're about to say about your brother or sister, is it really true? Like, have you talked to him or her directly and perhaps shared your concern with this person? Or are you just kind of perpetuating something that may not be true? Another question that we probably should ask ourselves is what I'm about to say, is it really kind? Is it kind to the person being spoken about? You know, it talks about, we talked about slander as kind of like defaming, right? You know, I think a lot of times we need to kind of guard each and other's honor. You know, we need to guard our reputation as brothers and sisters. You know, whatever we're saying, is it kind to the person that we're speaking to? How can we guard that person's reputation? And then the third simple question is really, is it necessary? You know, will it really help the person I'm talking about? Will it really help the person I'm speaking to? Like, what good will it do if I say this to this person? Like, if I share it with this individual, what good is it gonna do, right? What will it accomplish exactly? You know, friends don't let friends slander. And I think as a community of Christ, we also need to give each other permission to guard against slandering. We really need to be vigilant, you know, about how we treat one another. We need to help each other guard against slander or speaking negatively about each other. And we need to also come before the Lord and ask him if perhaps we have slandered anyone, knowingly or even unknowingly. You know, have we perhaps unknowingly exaggerated or embellished the truth? It doesn't have to be a big lie. We really need to ask the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and to reveal it to us if that's taken place, but to also not just confess it to the Lord, but also perhaps confess it to the one that we have sinned against. You know, if in order for us to be a true community of believers, a true body of Christ, we need to really put on the love of God, to really guard each other's honor, to really say, you know what? I've sinned against you, and will you forgive me if I have said anything hurtful to you or against you? And then the last thing that we need to do is we need to practice seasoning our speech about others with love and kindness. You know, in Colossians 4, verse 6, Paul reminds us to let our conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Are our words full of grace? Are our words full of kindness? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like if there's an issue that we really need to perhaps address that issue. That's not what I'm getting at, okay? What I'm getting at is if it's not true, then don't say it, okay? But can our speech be full of grace, seasoned with salt? And then the last scripture that I want to point us to is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Paul reminds us to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths or your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. How is our talk? Is it wholesome? Or is it divisive? Or does it tear down? Is my speech building up the body of Christ? Is my speech about my brother or my sister building him or her up? Or is it really causing division or strife? You know, I started this message by reviewing James chapter 4, 7 through 8. And again, that had to do with submitting to God, resisting the devil, pursuing God, and dealing with sin. But as I was meditating on this passage, you know, if we submitted our tongue to God, we wouldn't have to worry about slandering or speaking against another brother or sister. If we submit our mouths to the Lord on a daily basis, if we resist the devil when there's a temptation to embellish the truth, then slander really won't be an issue for us. Are we letting God control our thoughts, our tongue? Because that's what he desires. As a new creation in Christ, as a child of God, God desires that we submit everything, including our tongue and our mouths, to him. Otherwise, we'll just be reverting back to our old nature. So I want to encourage you this evening or this afternoon, even as we wrap it up, ask the Lord today, what is it that the Lord is saying to you tonight? You know, maybe it's not anything blatant that you've done. Maybe it's like, well, I don't really lie, I don't really slander. But is there anything that you've said lately that may have offended a fellow brother or sister? Or maybe perhaps you've spoken against someone and you feel like maybe the Lord is saying to you right now that, you know what, you need to bring that before the Lord. Let's just spend a few minutes just coming before God, asking him to reveal to us anything that we may have done knowingly or even unknowingly. We just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us right now. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And we invite you to shine your light, to come and examine our hearts. God, first of all, we confess before you, Lord, that sometimes we've let unwholesome talk come from our mouths. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, if that's been the case. God, we ask that you would reveal to us areas in our lives that where we may have offended you or offended another brother or sister. Father, we ask that you speak to us now. Show us. want to invite you to stand and just submit your tongue to God. Pray to Him. Ask the Lord to take over your mouth, whatever you're going to say, that you just submit and surrender to Him this evening. So pray it in your own words. Ask the Lord to just take over, take control of our mouths tonight. God, as we come here tonight, Lord, we bring our whole beings to You. Lord, everything that we are, Lord, we bring our mouths to You. Lord, we surrender and submit our tongues to You, Lord. We ask, God, that You would take control over our mouths, Lord, that we would not slander, that we would not speak against one another. Father, would You fill our mouths with wholesome talk? Lord, we ask, Lord, for Your forgiveness, Lord, if we've offended You or anyone else. And Lord, we ask, God, that You would help us, Lord, to speak words of blessing. Help us, Lord, to speak words of encouragement, to speak words of edification. Father, we ask, Lord, that we would be able to resist the devil, Lord, that we would be able to just speak Your words of blessing to each other. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would continue to build us up as a church body. God, that You would make us, Lord, a shining bride that You are meeting. Father, we ask, God, that You would continue to remind us, Lord, of Your goodness in our lives so that we can reflect that in our everyday living for You. Lord, we thank You, God, for this time. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this reminder to watch what we say. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would help us to put it into action tonight and this week. Thank You, Lord. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.